We invite your attention this morning to Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 14. Mark 9, 14. I love singing, but this last song, I just want to point out a couple things here. Let us work with a will in the strength of youth. I'll tell you that when you're in your youth, it's really the time to work for the Lord. And through the years, but when you get into our age, it's not quite as easy anymore. But you know what? I like the last verse. Then happy the call to the Savior's right hand. That's what we're looking forward to. I guess all of us are, aren't we? We're looking forward to Jesus coming back for us. 9:14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Let us kneel together in prayer.
Good morning. We greet each one of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The sermon title this morning is, I Believe. I Believe. Taken from the testimony of the Father in what was read for you this morning. Is that your testimony this morning? Do you believe? Do you believe? Does your belief go far beyond your head knowledge? Is your belief in your heart? Is your belief in the actions that you live out every day? You see, the words belief the word faith, the word trust. They're all synonyms. They all mean the same thing. Do you believe? Many among us this morning, if not all of us, are facing mountains in life. Mountains in life. Seemingly impossible circumstances. Impossible situations. There are church problems, seemingly with no solution. There are relationship issues that seem irreconcilable. There are concerns for our families. There are health problems. There's cancer amongst us, chronic illnesses. We're facing death of a loved one. There are those members that are facing loneliness and separation. Huge mountains, huge struggles that each of us deal with in life. And it could go on. And these struggles take all our energy, all our knowledge, all our resources, and all our time. We pour it into fighting against these mountains of life. We try, and the mountain seems just too big. We have no victory. In today's lesson, Jesus meets a man, a father, who has a terrific mountain in front of him. A mountain, an obstacle that's seemingly impassable. As we go through this text this morning, we'd like to learn about this Father's mountain and see what applications we can make to our own. I think it's worthwhile noting the text of this scripture. Immediately preceding this, Jesus was on the mountain of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. He saw Jesus glorified and lifted up. It's what we would call a mountaintop experience. It was so good that Peter said, "Let's not leave here. Let's stay here." Yet at the bottom of that mountain, there was a struggle going on. In the midst of a multitude, the disciples attempted to cast a demon out of a man's son, and it was unsuccessful. And Jesus came down from this mountain into the real world of arguments and criticisms and sickness and demons and defeated disciples. From the mountaintop experience, he came down to find mountains. Let's look at verse 14. "And when he, being Jesus, came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?'" Here in the crowd, the scribes were arguing with the disciples. As Jesus has entered, the crowd rushes to him, and Jesus asks the scribes, "What are you arguing about? What are you arguing about?" And before they could answer, or seemingly at least before they could answer, a father rushes from the crowd. Matthew's account says he falls at the feet of Jesus, begging for mercy, begging for help for his only son. Verse 17, "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not.'" Here we see a man, a father, who has a mountain in front of him. A mountain. His son, since childhood, had been possessed by a demon, and he was deaf and dumb. Get a picture this morning of the great burden that was on the father, the great mountain that he faced. This demon would seize control of his son and throw him down. And the boy would foam at the mouth and gnash his teeth. Gnashing of the teeth, it's a description of hell and of pain. The boy was in pain, terrible pain. And he would get stiff as a board. And the boy suffered greatly. This demon hated this boy so much that he tries to kill him. At times he would cast him into the fire to try to burn him up. And at times he would cast him into the water to try to drown him. That was the mountain that faced the father. Can you imagine the love and the compassion and the heart of the Father? His only son. Year after year, he sought help for him. Year after year, he mended him from being in the fire. Year after year, he saved him from drowning. How many times had this father taken the boy to be healed? I don't know. But he watched his only son struggle year after year. How great an obstacle it was. How great a mountain in this father's life. And so he brings his son to the disciples, hoping he would be cured, only to be disappointed one more time. What about you this morning? What is a mountain in your life that you're facing today? What obstacle or mountain is in your life that seems just too big, just too large? You've tried and you've hoped and you're running out of options. Let's see how Jesus responds to the Father in verse 19. And he answers him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." He says, "O unbelieving," other accounts add the word perverted, "O unbelieving and perverted generation." Perverted means misinformed, mixed up, distorted. "O unbelieving and mixed up generation, how long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Exactly who he's speaking to here, I don't know. It could be to the desperate father. It could be to the disciples. Could be to the crowd. And I'm certain it's for us today. O faithless and mixed up generation, won't you bring your problem to me? He's calling us today to bring our mountain to him. We just sang about it, didn't we? "Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I." 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 20, "And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, 'How long is it ago since this came unto him, and he said, of a child. And oft time it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see, here the conflict rages. The conflict in the eternal battle, it seems like, between belief and unbelief. Jesus calls for the child, and the Father brings him. And here at the feet of Jesus, we see the struggle between Satan and God, the struggle between light and darkness, the struggle between faith and unbelief. Here at the feet of Jesus, we see a demon-possessed boy, and the demon is raging. Here at Jesus, we see the contrast of the defeated disciples. Here at the feet of Jesus, we see that conflict between spirit and flesh, between light and darkness. But most of all, we see the conflict that rages in the heart of the Father. It's to the Father I would draw your attention this morning. Can you see his pain and his hurt? Can you see his struggle that he has? He's shaken by his son's sickness. He's shaken by disciples' failures. He's shaken by years of doubt. He's at the bottom of the barrel. Dare he hope, dare he try just one more time. And in desperation, he cries out as the battle rages in his heart. He says, if you can do anything, help us. He says, can you really help me? Can you really help? Do you really have that kind of power? You see here, he doubts the power of Jesus Christ. That battle still goes on in our hearts at times, doesn't it? We struggle with it when we face difficult situations. We say, God, are you really there? Oh God, why? We ask him, do you really have the power? Do you really care enough to help me? It's a struggle of believers down through time. What about you this morning? Do you question the power of God? The amazing thing to me is that even while this young child is convulsing at the feet of Jesus, does he heal him? No. He addresses the faith of the Father. He addresses the face of the Father. That's significant. As we face these mountain experiences, these problems, it's Jesus addressing our faith. The root issue of this problem, and the important thing here, is the Father's faith. You see, the mountains in our life are all about addressing our faith. Do we really believe? We see it over and over again in Scripture, and yet we miss it. The man with the withered hand, the healing waits until Jesus deals with the scribe's faith. Jesus deals with the disciples' faith before he stops the storm. Jesus asks the disciples to have faith as they search for loaves before he feeds the 5,000. The calling of blind Bartimaeus Bartimaeus has to address it, come to him and have faith before he heals. Seems like time and time again, God deals with the root issue of our faith before he addresses the mountain. Remember that as you face your obstacle and your mountain this morning, what is God showing you? How is God working with you? Prayer meeting this last time, those that in my group that I was in, there was a prayer request that God would increase our faith. And we went around and prayed for it. And I'm always afraid to pray for that. You see, when you pray for an increase of faith, oftentimes it can only happen by mountains and obstacles in our life. I'm afraid to pray often for an increase of faith because I have no idea what it would take to increase my faith. The hymn writer says, "The flame will not harm you. His only design is thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine." Verse 23. "And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe," if you can believe, if you can have faith the size of a mustard seed, if you can trust me, all things are possible to him that believeth. You see, here Jesus turns the tables back on the Father. He says, it's not if I have the power, but do you believe that I have the power? Do you have faith? Do you believe? Do you trust me? This perhaps is one of the most twisted verses of Scripture today. It's the basis of all New Age thought. We're taught by false teachers that if we only believe, if we say, I believe, I believe, I believe, mentally we can will it to come true, and that's false. It's the basis of the New Age teachers, the name it, claim it kind of thing. If you only believe, you can have it. That's false. That's not what this verse is teaching. This verse is teaching that it's not in man's strength, not in man's power, not in man's reasoning, but in the power of God. You see, that simple faith, that faith the size of the mustard seed, the faith that moves mountains is, I believe, I put my trust in God. It's so simple, so basic, but yet so very hard at times. This kind of faith trusts in the character of God. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, he's sovereign, he's good, he's merciful. This kind of faith puts your trust in the Word of God, His promises that you find in Scripture. Many promises and truths are found in Scripture that remind us that God is still good. Here we see a hurting father. Here we see defeated disciples told that all they need to do is to put their faith, their trust in Jesus Christ. And nothing's impossible. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 4. First John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God, that means every believer that is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Do you want to overcome the mountain that's in front of you this morning? It takes faith, that simple faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed in Jesus Christ. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. Faith, trust, confidence in the power of God and His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Word. And so Jesus redirects the Father's plea. He says, it's not a question of if I have the power, but do you believe, do you trust me? Are you willing to put your future and your son's future in my hands? Verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Isn't it a beautiful verse of scripture? Beautiful testimony. The father was able to take that leap of faith. How could he go? From the 22, it says, if you can do anything. To verse 24. He said, Lord, I believe. He was able to take that leap of faith. He jumped over the fears that he had. He jumped over his years of struggling. He jumped over his bad experiences. He even jumped over his common sense and said, yes, I believe. Won't you help my unbelief? Won't you give me grace to trust you more? One of the darkest days of my life, it was on a Sunday. I didn't want to come to church that evening, but I made a decision I was going. And when I got here, Brother Matt led in a hymn, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. The chorus is, you're all familiar with this. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. How I proved you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. That's the Father's cry. He says, Jesus, I believe, but give me the grace to trust you more. I will take this time to encourage choristers. You'll never know how much your service touches people. I don't remember what the minister spoke on that night. I don't remember a lot about that service, but I do remember, and I'll never forget it, and I'll always be grateful for Brother Matt. Oh, for grace to trust him more. It's what my heart needed that night. There are many plots to this account here. We could talk about the disciples. We could talk about the boy. We could talk about the scribes. But yet the point of the account is the father. A father at a mountain. A father who loved his son. A father who was facing fears and disappointments. He was at the end of the rope. But he was able to make that leap from unbelief to belief. Yes, Jesus, I believe in you. Yes, Jesus, I trust you. Yes, I commit my future and my son's into your hand. Won't you help my unbelief? The Father was able to answer, perhaps the greatest answer that rings down through the ages, "Yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." It's the greatest response of all times. It's honest, it's sincere. Where are you today? Do you see yourself in the place of the Father? You believe, but you need some help with your unbelief. Is your faith wavering? Are there promises of God you don't believe? Are your problems just seemingly too big? Each of us has to answer a question. In who or in what will we put our trust, our confidence? We hear it all the time. All you have to do is have faith. It's not a true statement. Who you put your faith in, who you trust, makes all the difference. Faith is not enough. You have to put your faith in the truth. You have to put your faith in the one true and living God. You have to put your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. You have to put your faith in His Holy Word. How many people had this father put in his faith and his trust in before he met Jesus? I don't know. But now the Father chose truth. Now the Father chose to put His confidence in Jesus. When facing a mountaintop, a mountain experience, an obstacle in your life, you must put your faith and your confidence in Jesus Christ, in His character, in His attributes, in His promises. It's only after dealing with the Father's faith that Jesus heals the boy. Verse 25. When Jesus saw the people came running together, He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee to come out of him and enter him no more." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. In one terrific display, in one last-ditch effort, the demon sees the boy. The demon cries out loud. In one last great attempt, he convulses the boy. Yet even in the fierceness of this demon, even in this terrible situation, even in this mountain for the Father, Jesus was in complete control. You see, the Father's faith was not put in the wrong place. Get it in your minds this morning that Jesus Christ is in complete control. Jesus casts out the demon. The demon, it says here, was never to return. Jesus, it says, lifted up the boy. I'm told that means that He took fast hold of him. I like that. Jesus took fast hold of the boy. This morning, I know many of you are facing very difficult times. And the mountain may not go away. You may not be cured. God may choose not to remove the mountain. I don't know. This verse does not promise that the healing will happen. It does not promise that the mountain will go away. But what it does promise is that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, He will get you through. What it does promise is God will take fast hold of you. That is clearly taught in Scripture. Verses 28 and 29. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Why couldn't the disciples cast the demon out? Jesus answers them, it's because of prayer and fasting. So I thought about that. What does prayer and fasting do? It connects us to Jesus Christ. It connects us to the one who has the power. Whether these disciples were trying to cast the demon out in their own power, whether they lost faith and trust because Jesus wasn't there at the time, I don't know. But prayer and fasting connects us to the one that has the power. It connects us to God. It brings us into His presence. And there we learn to trust and believe. And there we learn about the one in whom we place our trust. Our only hope in the mountains of life is to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I was reading a Bible help this morning as I was thinking about the sermon, and it was one on faith. Brother Harold writes in the Bible help this account that I'd like to show. I think it was a good illustration. Brother Harold writes about a missionary named John Patton who served in the New Hebrides Islands, and he was translating the Gospel of John, and the natives of that island did not have a word for believe. How can you translate the Gospel of John without a word to believe? One day a native worker came into the office of this missionary, and he sat down in two chairs. He sat in one and propped his feet up in the other. And these two chairs held the whole weight of this native man. And the missionary said, that's my word for believe. To believe means you're resting your whole weight on those two chairs. You see, when the Father cried out, I believe, He put everything He had, all His trust, all His weight, in the hands of Jesus Christ. What mountain do you struggle with? What sins can't you master? What relationships are irreconcilable? Are you in despair, depression? Is there sickness? Do you find your faith wavering? Can you take that leap of faith that the Father took? Can you go from the question, if you can do anything, to the statement, I believe? Brothers and sisters, this morning, I tell you, there's one, Jesus Christ, that you can put your faith in. He will never let you down. Also, I would encourage you, there are brothers and sisters in this congregation willing to come beside you, willing to support you in prayer, willing to support you in fasting. I would ask you, if you're struggling, if your faith is wavering, won't you make it known to someone? They will come alongside you and help you with the mountains in your life. May God bless you.
Let us stand for prayer, please.